Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Radical Center. My name is Jonathan Langley and we are broadcasting as ever from the illustrious Radical Studios in beautiful sunny downtown Austin, Texas. Now, along with my long-suffering producer Dan and I, we like to focus on things that affect everyday people. And the topic today isn't one that affects, it mind-bogglingly affects more people than you might imagine. It just affects all of us, in other words. And that is, do we get what we vote for? If we vote in a democracy. And by that I mean, if we vote in people or vote for a topic on a particular, whether it's a referendum or anything, and we vote for that, do the people we elect, even if they disagree with them, then have the right to say, I don't care what the voters have to say? That's not democracy in action. I know they voted for it, but I just know better than them. So let's start. Let's start with Exhibit 1. We have two exhibits today. One at the Washington level, one at the state level, just so happened to both be on the right side of the political landscape. So let's start, please, Dan, with Mr. Rand Paul.
Particularly when people from the left tell me they're for democracy and we need to get away from this old-fashioned idea of the Constitution, I try to point out to them that, you know, democracy is what gave us Jim Crow. The Jim Crow laws were passed by majority legislatures. Now, some will argue, well, blacks didn't get to vote in those states. Even when you add up all the black vote that could have floated, these were a majority of all these southern states passed these Jim Crow laws. That's when you do need a court system to step in an undemocratic way and say, you can't have that. You got to have equal treatment under the law.
All right. So what you saw there was Rand Paul talking to a small group of people about how Jim Crow laws came out of democracy. In other words, his point is these people were voted in a democratic institution. Never mind the fact that blacks couldn't vote. He just touches on it broadly. He just sort of brushes it under the carpet by saying, well, there was never enough votes there anyway. But it took judges over a period of 30, 40, 50 years to realize that those laws were illegal and to say they should not be allowed and make Jim Crow go away. Right? Fair enough. So he was all for it, apparently. He's all for judges that do things like that when he agrees with it. But what happens when he doesn't? Roll the next one, Dan. Thanks.
And so the difficulty we have right now is you have all these mandates by the governor, probably hundreds of mandates that he's issued. But then you have the law that the state legislature passed that says that his edicts expire after 30 days. That is the law of Kentucky. And yet we have one single judge that is staying the entire state legislature. And this should give us pause to think about it. That we would have one person in the judiciary stop all of the elected officials. I mean, we have 100 representatives, we have 38 senators, they've all been elected by all the people of Kentucky. They came together, and I think nearly three-fourths of them voted to say that emergency orders should end without the consent of the legislature, which to me I think sounds pretty reasonable that one person shouldn't decide that we would disperse that power and have checks and balances.
Okay, so there's Rand Paul talking to a small group of people, I think elected representatives from Kentucky, and he's holding high court, as you can tell. Just his body language tells me he likes to think he's a Newt Gingrich and a Bill Clinton, the smartest guy in the room. Just, I am so friggin' smart. If you're listening to us online, I'm sorry you couldn't see the body language, but still basically saying that he was against, this is from 2020, against mask mandates, right? It was a terrible idea. Mask mandates are awful. And even though we have Mitch McConnell and Rand Paul from Kentucky, what is it about you people in Kentucky voting for these guys? They're just bizarre people to me. Forget Republican or Democrat. They're just weird because they're run by a Democratic governor. Now, the fact that they're run by a Democratic governor who put out mask mandates and agreed with some things which the scientists wanted to do really upset Rand Paul, who, remember, got COVID, who, remember, then went, he was told he had tested positive or potentially had COVID, I should say, kept going to, we even went to the gym in the Capitol complex, only after he was told came back with a test that was positive, did he then leave? Because it's just all a sham. So Rand Paul there, though, I hope you picked up on it, talking about how when the governor put those rules out, a judge came along and said, yes, I support it. One man apparently can override what Rand Paul disagrees with, and he really gets upset. Really upset. And you might be saying, Langley, what's this got to do with local elections and ignoring the will of the people? It's precisely this mindset. Rand Paul is totally against what people in Kentucky, what the governor who was voted in by people of Kentucky, were against. He was totally against that, did not want it, wanted it gone. And just because a judge happened to agree with him on one issue, which all the judges through time have agreed with him on getting rid of Jim Crow, apparently it's really bad to get rid of to support something that Rand Paul disagrees with as a judge. These activist judges, what is he? Is he? What do you think? Is he pro-judge or what? Okay, so let's get now. This mindset is in the Republican Party, and that's what makes it so scary. Because I want to get to, and we're going to run the video, to a gentleman called Justin Hill, who's a state representative from Missouri. So let's play him. Go ahead. Please, Dan. Thank you. Justin Hill.
If they wanted funds for this special interest program, they should have given us a funding source in the Constitution.
All right. So in Missouri, Justin Hill is part of the Republican majority that administration there in Missouri. And what's he talking about? He's talking about Medicaid expansion. In other words, the fact that you've got dollars which would come, 90% would come, flow from the federal government to help his own people in the state that he represents or the district that he represents in that state. He is 100% against it because the funding just wasn't in the Constitution. Somehow he's able to factor in the Constitution into a budget. I'm assuming he means the state Constitution. I'm not sure if he means the state representative's constitution or whatever they swear allegiance to in the state and, of course, the American constitution. I'm not sure. But he managed to get those words in there because, by golly, it was really bad because it's $35 million and we just don't have the money. What are we going to do? Now, we have done hours on the podcast, on the radio, on the fact that when states take Medicaid expansion, 90% of which is paid for by the federal government, it's a no-brainer. A healthier population, less kids going to get sick, better prenatal and postnatal care for mothers, for new babies, and so on. It's a no-brainer to take Medicaid expansion. None whatsoever. Zero. Yet somehow, this gentleman is totally against it. And you might be saying, well, why are you bringing it up, Langley? Well, because the state of Missouri had a referendum on this. As part of a ballot initiative. And guess what? By vast majority, I say vast majority, 82,000 people voted to expand Medicaid in the state of Missouri. They wanted it. In other words, the people wanted it. The people in that state wanted Medicaid expansion. They wanted to take free federal money to help their own people to get access to better health care. Oh, I don't know. Maybe being able to go to the doctors for checkups and not have to worry about paying until you get sick. Not have to worry till it's too far gone to find out if you've got cancer because I didn't have the money to go and have it checked up on. But what did Mr. Hill then have the balls to say? Unfortunately, we don't have the audio of it, but I am going to read it. In March, he said, even though my constitutions voted for this lie, I'm going to protect them. I am proud to stand against the will of the people. Oh, my God. Leave that up a second there, because if you're listening online, I'll read it again. Now, I want to read the first part. Even though my constituents voted for this lie. Now, I'm not sure what he meant. I'm assuming what he's, because I didn't get the whole context here, But I'm assuming what he means is that it's a lie that Medicaid expansion is going to be free. Or I imagine he's saying that, and because it's not, he's right, 10% of the funding comes from the local government. And B, whether it's, I'm assuming, I'm not sure, to be fair to him, that he's also saying that is it going to make our lives better? And I'm going to protect them. I'm not sure what he's protecting the people of Missouri from. Is it what he thinks might have to put higher taxes out there to pay for that $35 million which he mentioned? I am proud to stand against what are the people. All right, Dan, thanks. So why do I bring all this up? It's because time and again we have shown that the expansion of Medicaid is good for the people in those states, no question. If, ands, or buts, we're going to do one thing in just a second to prove it. And B, this is how undemocratic certain members of Congress or local states are. They're absolutely against it. He's proud to stand up and say, I know what's right for you. I know you voted for it because maybe you think your family would be better off with it. But trust me, I know more than you. I know. So put this next one up. This is outcomes. And we've used these a lot. This is outcomes, and this is for Missouri. And this is who has not taken Medicaid expansion. Just remember this. I want to focus on a couple, and the graphic shows on the right hand column, and I'll read it for those on who are listening on the podcast. So Missouri is 42 out of 50 for child mortality, 42 out of 50, 44 out of 50 for maternal mortality, and I'll just point out, not as bad as Texas, as Governor Abbott likes to say. Certainly for outcomes for infants, they're 34th, and then the third from the bottom. Infant mortality is children under the age of 5. It's 33 out of 50. So not even middle of the pack, worse than that. Let's talk about a state which is always being picked on, California. So California, Dan, thanks, leave it up. 6.5 for Missouri. We don't have the graphic for it, I'm just going to tell you. So Missouri has 6.5 mortality rate for infant mortality, and California is what? That socialist bastion? The people that we've done a show take less money from the federal government. What is it than these other states? Which is it? 4.3. In other words, you have a 30% chance, higher chance of dying, your child dying of infant mortality in Missouri than you do in California. 30%. Right, 30% higher, more than that really, I suppose, depending how you want to calculate it, but 30% higher chance of dying, or babies dying, I should say, in California, the socialist bastion of California, who takes less money from the federal government as a ratio than other Republican states than you do in Missouri. So I don't know what Mr. Hill, thanks Dan, I don't know what Mr. Hill thinks he's protecting, or what he's protecting his constituents from. Living longer, perhaps. Healthier children. Just think about it. I'm protecting you from healthier children because if you had healthier children, just think of all those mouths we have to feed. It's just awful. So there you go. So if you think it's just democracy at the general election level that's under threat, it's not. It's the democracy at the local level. And if we keep electing crazy people, even if you're a Republican, eventually at some point, crazy people will do crazy things. All right. So on that happy note, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening to the podcast. You can like, comment, subscribe, please. Thank you very much. Email me at jonathan@langley.media. We are everywhere online. I want to thank you for joining us here today. And again, tell your friends and neighbors about us. And well, God bless. And we'll be – by the way, just one other thing. I was sorry, Dan. If you have any ideas for topics – email us at jonathan@langley.media because we focus on real things that affect real people. And we want to make sure that we cover it. And I will honestly tell you, I am a true independent. I really don't have an axe to grind. So I'm just looking at facts here when Dan and I are looking at facts when we do this. All right. End of speech. Thanks for watching. God bless. Take care. And we'll be back very, very soon.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.